sip of water here. All right. And in 3, 2, 1. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we are visiting with Amir. I'm going to butcher your name, so why don't you just say your name for the audience?
Well, my full name is Amir Reza, but short is Amir. And everyone.
Okay. So thank you, Amir. And he is with Roshan Water Solutions. And this is a very new technology that, little interesting history, was born out of, correct me if I'm wrong, Amir, out of your wife's graduate research study program for her, I guess you'd call her PhD, her dissertation. And yes, you saw, wow, this thing could probably be commercialized. So tell me a little bit about how the idea all came about, her studies, and then, you know, I'd love you to also disclose the name of the company and the meaning behind that and, you know, the logo. And then we'll get into a little bit about what it actually does.
Yeah, definitely. I would be more than happy to do that. So really, I always say this to Paramis, my wife as well, that the history of the company didn't really start 6 years ago when we started the company, or even didn't start 11 years ago when she started her PhD program at the University of Alberta here in Canada. It actually started many, many years ago, like subconsciously in her mind, when she was 3 years old and they were having a vacation in the north of our country in Iran, and they were visiting rural areas, I guess. And she got very, very sick. Paramis got very, very sick because of drinking water that has some sort of bacteria in it. And because they were in a rural area, no access to hospitals, no access to testing facilities or anything, they had to drop everything, cancel the vacation, and kind of drive 4 or 5 hours back to the capital in Tehran so she can go to a hospital. And thank God everything turned out well and she was okay, and kind of she moved on from that. So that was subconsciously. I always tell her that it was the reason why she chose to work on a research project like this. Now, when she came to Canada in 2012, when she started her PhD program at the University of Alberta, she had the opportunity to work on sort of multiple different projects. And the one that she chose was a collaboration between governments of India and Canada that was looking at how we can help, especially the rural communities in both countries, with a variety of different issues coming from infrastructure, health, and drinking water, and so on. Her project was specifically about drinking water, and more specifically about why testing water for bacteria, which is a very standard process in our water and wastewater industry. And it's really needed because that's the way that they make sure drinking water is clean, and that's the way they make sure that the wastewater has low enough bacteria that is not harming the environment. So her research was about why these tests, especially on the drinking water side, why they are not done as frequent as they should, or even never done in those rural communities. So she looked at that and she did research, and it was pretty easy to figure out that the main issue would be that all the standard tests and that are designed for doing something like that are done inside labs. And labs need equipment, need personnel, and a lot of rural communities are not going to have access to that. These labs are mostly in bigger cities and bigger towns. So I have to say that testing water samples for bacteria is very specific because there is a very specific window of the time. They call it holding time. And from the time that you take the sample to the time that the sample is being prepared for analysis, and USDPA say it has to be 30 hours. So if you don't make that 30 hours travel, the sample is going to be expired basically, and you cannot really test that. And that is why these rural communities in Canada, a lot of First Nation communities in India, many, many small communities don't have access to this test, and hence they cannot do the test, and they have issues ongoing with their drinking water and bacteria. So that was very intriguing to her. And on top of that, she wanted to work on a technology that allows the test to also happen faster. And why that is important, it's because tests in the lab, like even if you have access to a lab facility, tests are slow. It takes at least 24 hours to generate results for something like E. coli in water. And by the virtue of that, really you are not, or the utilities are not making decisions based on the samples that are taken today. They are making the decision tomorrow or the day after based on the sample they sent to the lab a day before. So at the end of the day, those tests are not going to help with sort of operations. It's more for compliance reasons than testing. So really she wanted to do something that also helps that. And she worked on a project for her PhD for about 5 years. And she developed a proof of the concept that allowed, at least at the end of her PhD, to have something that was, we made it in the lab with a bunch of boxes and wires, but it was a portable kind of looking device that was doing the test in 1 hour for bacteria like E. coli. And now in 2017, when we were graduating, we decided that this is something that we want to take out of the lab and take it out of the publications in the labs and the universities and make it a product and try to help as many people as possible with it. And that's where we started Roshan Water. And now you, Susan, asked about the logo and the name. And so in our like original language, in our mother language, Farsi, Roshan means bright, which can you can use it to describe both clean water, bright water, as well as a bright future. And that's why we chose Roshan, and that's why the tagline says a basic clear water, bright future.
Love it, love it. And so we started talking offline before you came on that for testing the water, but then there was an interesting little application. And I think it came about, you know, for wastewater. And this is what I really wanted to focus on for the purpose of the episode was compliance at a certain point in the treatment process that you recognized, wow, this was a serious pain point. And a lot of waste was happening in treatment at the disinfection point. So I'd like you to share with me, you know, kind of what you did when we were first talking about this, how you see the benefits of using a technology like this can help in the efficiency of the treatment process, as well as compliance. And I know we are all, when we're in treatment, we're always worried about those fines, because yes, really that's eating into the revenue and it's just paying for something that, why are you paying for this? If you could do something very, very small, they can help you avoid that annoying fine, kind of like a parking ticket.
Yeah. So really the way that the whole applications of our product in the wastewater, the way that it came about was during the conversations we were having with wastewater treatment plants. We have one near us. I don't know if we can call their name, Alberta Capital Region Wastewater Commission, who has been working with us for the past 4 years. And so talking to them, as well as talking to our advisors, we realized one thing. Medium-sized and large wastewater treatment plants, we have many, many of them here in Canada and in the US, they have a complicated treatment process, and each step basically is taking care of something in the wastewater, from solids and stuff and others. The very last step in the process is a disinfection process, which they either use UV treatment or they use chlorination. And its whole job is it's receiving, because wastewater has a huge amount of bacteria and microbes in it. Disinfection process, as the name says, the whole job of that process is to reduce that to a certain level, below a certain level, and that is coming dictated from the government. So they have to bring it down to below that so they can release that treated wastewater back to the environment, making sure that it's not harming the like fishes and creatures in the water, as well as the recreational water that is receiving that sort of treated wastewater. So all the wastewater treatment plants basically have that, and their basic compliance level that they have to be below kind of varies between different applications. Most of the urban ones usually have 150 to 200 counts of E. coli to be below. When they are in national parks, they are more strict about it. So they have to be 10 and below 10 or 20. But regardless of that, they have a threshold that they have to be below. Now, what happens is what we realized was because they don't have a way, and especially the operation team don't have a way to monitor how efficiently they are killing the bacteria in the disinfection process. And they have a lab on site that tests the water. They can do it weekly or daily. But as I said before, the results comes back a day later, and no operations around the world in no industry can use a day later data to make decisions about their process. So because they don't have that tool to give them information about how efficient they're killing the microbes in real time, as rapid as possible, they choose the conservative way most of them. What that means is they increase the chlorine dose. They use a huge amount of UV power, on the other hand, to make sure that they can kill as many bacteria as possible in their process. And as I said, they usually have a level of, like, let's say 150 to 200 counts of E. coli, and their day-to-day operation is producing a wastewater that has like 5, 10, 15 E. coli in it, which is perfect from the standpoint of that the process is killing bacteria. But what also that means is they are using a lot of UV power electricity that comes with a lot of GHG emission, or they are using a lot of chemicals like chlorine that can end up in the environment as well and harm the environment. So the use case for our product came about. Now, if you have our tool that allows you to do the test, allows the operation team to do the tests whenever they want and get the results in 1 hour, and now you have a tool that gives you the ability to understand your disinfection process. Now you can know at any point of time that you want, where are you with killing and in disinfection process, and you can adjust your dose and you can use lower dosage. Now, the first question that always comes to people's mind is, well, how much they can save on electricity, for example, if they reduce the dose. And I don't want to get into the technical part of it, but we kind of showed them the disinfection process. It usually follows a sort of a exponentially decay behavior, which means that when the number of the bacteria is very, very low, you have to use a huge amount of the UV, for example, or chlorine to be able to kill a little bit more. On the other way, when you look at it, if your goal right now is producing a wastewater that has 5, 10 E. coli in it, and you have been doing it for many years, now, if you set that goal to 20, 30, 40 E. coli per, like in your effluent, counts of E. coli, that can reduce your UV power cost by like up to 50%. It's a huge amount of money that they can save. It's a huge amount of GHG emission that can be reduced. And at the same time, a lot less chemicals such as chlorine would enter our water streams. So that is really where we came up with these applications. And I've been really going around in trade shows, on the calls, on the phone, and talking with as many wastewater treatment plants as possible to actually introduce this concept. We understand that this is very, very new to them. They have been doing things for many, many years the same way. And understandably, it takes a little bit of time and patience to kind of go through the process and understand what they can do. But we are really looking forward to working with the forward-thinking, the wastewater treatment plants that want to test newer technology, the whole goal with the goal to optimize their operations. Just to finalize this like part, recently I was at ACE 23 conference, AWWA conference and trade show in Toronto, and had many, many, I think more than 15,000 people attended or something like that. And we were part of an innovation hub through Isle Utilities that allowed us to actually interact with a lot of companies and end users. And they had a lot of good sort of panel discussions going on. One of the panel discussions were specifically about how the water and wastewater treatment processes can be optimized more. And one of the main topics that they talked about was our water and wastewater industry, for very, very good reasons, is heavily regulated. And because of that, we are always operating in a set parameters and set frameworks. And we never thought about how we can do this work and be compliant, but do it more efficiently. But now our utilities, our wastewater treatment plants are realizing that efficiency also is important as much as compliance, because it can drive the costs down, it can drive the environmental impacts down. And that's what we are talking about here, exactly fits that scenario.
Wow. So now, to utilize something like this, would this be considered just an operating expense, or is it a huge investment for a CapEx? And how difficult is it to incorporate it into the process? Is there a lot of a lot of special things they have to do, or it's just a pretty simple add-on?
But for us, the product, fortunately, the way that we designed the product from the day one was we don't want our utilities and wastewater treatment plants to incur a lot of CapEx at the beginning to be able to use a product that is sort of an add-on product to their processes. So our product is really a portable device, kind of look like, not look like, but the size of a standard printer. And the way that we always tell our wastewater treatment plants, the way we talk to is, if you think that this is something that you want to explore, it actually costs you really nothing. The units that we have are costing somewhere between $4,000 to $5,000 Canadian, really for end users to purchase. They can basically purchase it, put it inside their office, in their wastewater treatment somewhere, and start using it without any addition, really. You don't need to bring in like valves and pipes and stuff or change your process. And you can easily start using it day one when you get the product. If you don't like it, you can just pack it up and send it back to us. There is no cost for you to install it. There is no cost for you to get rid of it if you don't like it.
Wow. So instances of, you know, places that are using it, you were saying about that almost that 50%. I was very interested in, you know, like how this can really impact communities that have smaller wastewater treatment. How could something like this be applied in, you know, more rural communities, which is one of the reasons why you really were prompted to go this direction, you know, for First Nations and rural communities? What about lagoon systems where they're using that for treatment? Is this something that could be incorporated into that, or is this purely for your traditional wastewater treatment plant scenario?
Well, it can be used anywhere that you need to test your samples for bacteria. Really doesn't matter the application or the use case. And to answer that question, especially when it comes to more like smaller communities, I actually had a very, very good conversation at ACE in Toronto with sort of a company. They are not consulting engineering company. They are down in Puerto Rico. And they manage a lot of wastewater treatment plants, small wastewater treatment plants in Puerto Rico. And when I was explaining to him about like the cost and UV and overdosing and over disinfection, everything like that, and he said, hold on. We are actually on the other side of the coin. We don't have a way to test our wastewater really locally. It takes us a couple of days to find a way to do the test and get the results. It's going to be a week later. So a lot of the time for us happens that we are not actually doing our disinfection correctly or efficiently. And instead of sending less than 200 E. coli counts to the environment, we are sending like 3,000, 4,000. And we are not going to get to know about that a week later because that's the way that we can just do the test. And he said, well, for us, that's going to be the way that looking at it. Now we have a tool. We're going to test effluent this morning, today. It's going to give us 4,000 counts of E. coli. We know we are screwing up. So let's crank up the UV or let's change our treatment process. And then when you do the change, you don't actually have to wait another week to find out if it's working or not. You do the test with our product right away. In 1 hour, you will find out if the 4,000 is coming down to 2,000. So you can kind of keep doing that until you get to whatever you want. Or no, you're actually going the other opposite directions and you're screwing things more. You're making everything worse. So when it comes to even small communities, and this has a real application because for small communities, again, remember the bigger challenge that they have is they don't have usually on-site labs. Wastewater treatment plants, bigger ones, normally have on-site labs. Smaller communities don't have that. So for them, the hassle of finding a way to send a sample to the lab in that holding time that I mentioned at the beginning is also a bigger challenge. It's a big challenge. So something that they can use on site, they can give the information right away, it's going to be like gold for them as well.
Right. And then getting back into how this can really help communities that are having problems with the compliance is that, like you were just saying, real-time decisions, not a day or two later where you've already gone over, you've had to report your data, so you know you're going to get fined. And so this can, from what I'm understanding, is that this can limit your exposure for being out of compliance and tighten up that window if things are going out of kilter. Because sometimes when you get, let's say, a storm surge, and that can throw the balance of a wastewater treatment plant out for a little while. You know, they do their best. They try to bring things back online and into balance as quickly as they can. But I could see something like this would help them stay ahead of that curve even more so, because they might have to adjust something on a temporary basis.
Exactly. And you actually brought up two very, very good points when it comes to sort of compliance. And one thing I have to kind of mention to everyone who's going to hear this is our product, we have done a lot of third-party and internal testing to validate the test process with a standard test results. But at the same time, I want to kind of be clear about this. Our product does not have regulatory approvals yet. And I think I talked with you, Susan, before that regulatory approval processes are usually very lengthy processes. And a small company like ours doesn't have the time and money to wait for that process to happen. So that is why we are looking at our product, and we are saying to the end users that this is not replacing your compliance testing that you have to do every day or every week. For a small wastewater treatment plant, they probably do like weekly tests and send the results to some government agency. So this is not going to replace that, but what it will help you is if you know that I'm going to send an operator to take a sample on Wednesday this week from our effluent, and we have to report that, now you can actually do in Monday and Tuesday, you can do probably up to 45 tests. You're not going to do that, I know, but you can do up to 45 tests with our product. And with that, you can make sure that the sample you're submitting to the lab for compliance reasons is definitely going to be below that threshold, and you're going to definitely be compliant. So it's an add-on. It's not something that you're going to replace the compliance with, but the add-on advantage for you would be that you're going to make sure that you're always compliant. And because all of these wastewater treatment plants and even utilities know that if the results go to the government and it's not compliant with one of the regulations, it's going to be a huge amount of work ahead to figure out what was the problem, do a lot more testing, figure out what was the issue, and bring everything down to the compliance level. So we are basically helping proactively being compliant, making sure that your compliance samples are going to basically pass the compliance.
Wow. Well, thank you for this. This is fascinating. And I love the fact that, hey, you try it. If you don't like it, you send it back. No harm, no foul. I love this. So Amir, is, you know, because you're a Canadian-based company, is this technology available in other parts of the world? I mean, can this be sold into the United States? No problems there.
Definitely. To answer that question very easily, we are actually selling and sending this product in the next couple of weeks to India, not wastewater side, on the drinking water side, but to our partner in India. So anyone who's interested to kind of give it a shot, work with it. We have a small team, obviously small company, but that gives the advantage to our end users that they can interact with us very quickly. And we are always there. We provide all sorts of training materials. I personally have done virtual trainings to some users in the UK last year, which actually went very fantastic. It was very amazing to do it. They had the product in front of them and they were looking at me in the camera, telling them what to do. So yeah. It's pretty easy. We have shipped the product to Nigeria with UNICEF before for some field testing. So sending to US, it's pretty easy. The US is pretty much same as Canada from a shipment perspective.
Right. And so if people want to know more about this or acquire one of these units, I take it they can go to your website, which is roshanwater.com, or email you. It's right behind you there on the screen. But for those of you who are just listening, it's info@roshanwater, and that is spelled roshanwater.com. And again, Amir, thank you for coming on the show and telling us about this. I always love introducing new technology to the listeners, and especially when it's something small that's not going to require a huge footprint or a CapEx or huge amount of OpEx, but it just sounds like something so small can make such a huge impact and such a difference in what we are doing in our daily operations that I definitely feel it's something worth taking a serious look at. You know, definitely. Just saying it's not going to replace what you have to do, but if just one little thing can make your job easier and save you money at the end of the day, it's definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah, so definitely.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I wanted to bring one of the units to show to you, but all the units are sort of in testing mode right now, okay. Getting ready for to be sent out. But as Susan said, you can go to our website and you can email me directly or to that info@roshanwire.com. And we usually get back to you within a couple of hours if you're interested. We usually get back to a second meeting with you, a virtual meeting in a week time if you have time. And you can really easily see all the features of the product, everything that it does, and everything that you want to know about it.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. And until then, keep it flowing.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you, everyone.
And we're out. That was good.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Really good.